You're listening to Pastor Stephen G. Lightfoot's podcast, Sermons and Homilies by the Reverend Stephen G. Lightfoot. Pastor Stephen is an ordained elder in the Global Methodist Church and serves as senior pastor to First Methodist Church Splendora and Shepherd Methodist Church in Southeast Texas. Here is today's episode. So, today is a special day. On this day in 1980, this church was chartered. That's remarkable. 45 years ago, this fellowship, which actually met together in March of that same year for the first time, became a chartered church. Just 2 months later, probably a little less than 2 months at that point, 2 months later, was chartered as a church 45 years ago today. Happy birthday, First Methodist Church. Yay. What a good day. An important milestone. And we've come a long way. Big congregations, small congregations, big again. It varies, it ebbs and flows. And I have to say, attendance has been up recently. Thank you. That's really good. But the ebb and flow of the church, how many people are in the pews, how many people call themselves members, changes over time. The ministries have been going strong since day one. Some things don't change. We had food pantry yesterday, as Cindy mentioned in the announcements, and we served 40 families. Some weeks we do 50, some weeks we do 70, some weeks we do 40. I guess it depends on the need and who feels the need to get in line that morning. But we serve. We serve whoever comes, and we serve in the name of Jesus, and really that's what's important, right? Amen. So the scripture that I'm coming to you from today is out of Revelation once again. This one should be familiar to all of you, and I must say that the reason it's familiar is because each of us has been to a funeral, and it's always in the funeral liturgy, Revelation 21. Not in its entirety. There are excerpts from it. Just like this morning, it's not the whole chapter. It's only verses 1 through 6. But it deals with the fact that in the church, the ebb and flow of our ministry and our mission, how many people we impact year in and year out, changes according to the needs. Because God is always moving, and we come alongside Him as best we can when we do ministry. In fact, that's the only ministry that ever endures. Did you know that? When we try to invent the wheel and do our own thing, that ministry is short-lived. But when we come alongside with what God is already doing, and we make His ministry our ministry, that's what goes on despite how things are going in the church, despite whether we have a UMC over our door frame or whether we have a GMC. The ministry of the congregation, the body of Christ in motion in the community, those ministries that align with God's purposes endure. Because God is always making things new. And that's what Revelation 21 says to us this morning. Listen to, I'm reading out of the New Revised Standard Version this morning. Revelation 21, 1 through 6, the new heaven and the new earth. This is John's vision. Then I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth had passed away, and the sea was no more. And I saw the holy city, the new Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, "See, the home of God is among mortals. He will dwell with them as their God. They will be his peoples, and God himself will be with them. He will wipe every tear from their eyes. Death will be no more. Mourning and crying and pain will be no more, for the first things have passed away." And the one who was seated on the throne said, "See, I am making all things new." Also he said, "Write this, for these words are trustworthy and true." And then he said to me, "It is done. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end." So in John's vision, Messiah Jesus shows him a new heaven and a new earth. And the reason John sees a new creation is because the old creation has been dissolved and needs replacing. The new heaven and the new earth are established by God to replace the first heaven and the first earth, which passed away. So what we're really seeing here in the vision is a distinction between two world orders. New and old, simple enough terms. New in this context is a term that describes quality, not timing. The quality of the new creation is different from that of the first creation. See, the first creation was impermanent and temporary, and the second creation is permanent and enduring. It will not fade, it will not decay, it will be everlasting. We see a renewal of the ravages of time, of sin, of sickness, of death. Those things are done away with the new creation. They're redeemed, they're reconciled, they're reanimated. Let's see if we can come up with any more R words. Reconstructed, renovated, into the best versions of themselves. The perishable becomes the imperishable. This is the result of one event and one event only. Do you know what it is? It's the resurrection. We're in Eastertide. Everything's about the resurrection. It's like the Sunday school answer, right? If it's not Jesus and it's not God, during Eastertide, it's going to be the resurrection. Okay? Everybody say it. The resurrection. Yes, the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, which by God's grace became the resurrection of the children of God and all of creation. His resurrection is your resurrection. And so, through the resurrection, he's making all things new. All things means all things are made new through Christ. Tell somebody next to you, all means all. All means all. All means all. Words mean things, and all means all. That means that through faithful belief in and on Jesus, his lordship and his resurrection, you and I and all who are counted as believers are redeemed and restored. We are saints walking in the light. We are a glorified community of believers. We are a royal priesthood. We are heirs and joint heirs with Christ of this new heaven and this new earth. Thanks and honor and glory to God. All of that sounds really amazing, Pastor. What does it all mean to me here and now as I sit here on a Sunday morning in this chair? And I'd have to say that's an honest question. Churchy language, churchy words mean little without context. It's an honest question. What does it all mean? As John's vision gives us a glimpse into what's coming, we often fail to see that it also gives us a real look at what is actually here and now for us as believers, right? We think new heaven and new earth. We think that's something that's coming with the return of Jesus. But that's oversimplified thinking for the Christian. Because the new heaven and the new earth are what occurs when you say yes to Jesus and are transformed into a new creation. You become part of the new heaven and the new earth. From the moment you say yes to Jesus. No, you don't have a degree in theology. No, you don't have all the Bible answers. No, you're not sitting at the pulpit and preaching the word of God to the masses. And yet you are not the same as before you said yes to Jesus. You are transformed. You are a new creation. You are on your way to sanctification and glorification. You're not the same. You're part of the new heaven and the new earth. See, we've been captive for a long while in the human condition, you and I. We've been sinners a lot longer than we've been saints. Can I say that?
Yes.
I just did. We tend to see things from that perspective because that's what we're used to. We're influenced by the sin, death environment in which we exist. But the reality of our salvation in Jesus is that though we live in the world, we are not of the world. Jesus tells us in John 16, verse 33, I've told you these things so that in me you may have peace. In this world you will have trouble, but take heart. I have overcome the world. See, Jesus, through his resurrection, has overcome the world, and with it all of the impacts, the consequences of the fall into original sin. He's overcome sin. He's overcome sickness. He's overcome death. Jesus has overcome all things, all the things that cause us grief and pain and struggle. Jesus has spanned the great chasm that separated us from God. The chasm, major obstacle for each of us. We couldn't jump over it. We couldn't go around it. The only way to navigate the chasm between us and God is Jesus. Jesus is the bridge. Now, as I said, we've been stuck at the ridge of the great chasm for a long time, you and I, humankind. Stranded at the ridge of the chasm. We often fail to see the way across. But if we open our eyes and become fully spiritually aware of what truly surrounds us, we see that the way is right in front of us. The way of transformation. The way of transformation is in front of us. The resurrection of Jesus Christ promises immediate transformation for all who say yes to the lordship of Jesus in their lives. Those who believe in their innermost being that he did in fact die and rise again on the third day. Immediate transformation. Immediately made new. Immediately recreated. Immediately made alive. Brought out of the death and separation of sin and into the marvelous light and life of Christ. You see, if you are in Christ, you are already resurrected. You are already made new. The old you has passed away, and the new you has been born again. So the question this morning is, it's always questions. When are you going to start living into your new identity? When are you going to elevate your eyes toward your new position of scriptural holiness and righteousness? When are you going to let go of your old ideas, your old circumstances, your old self, your old struggles, your old bad habits, your old ways? When are you going to let go of those? And when are you going to embrace the newness that God has provided for you? Because if you hear nothing else this morning, hear this. You are resurrected in Christ. So my suggestion this morning is walk out of the grave. Get up and walk out of the grave this morning. Walk out of the grave. Cast aside the grave clothes and put on the white robe of glory. What are you waiting for? The work has already been done. He declared it from the cross. It is finished. That's pretty total. No gray area there. It's done. The work has been done. Claim it. Live it. In Jesus' name, claim it. To God be the glory and honor. And all God's people said together, amen. Amen. Thank you for listening to today's podcast. Come back again next week for a new message. And until then, may God bless you and keep you.